continuing a discussion about prayer, and it is a part of prayer that I have struggled with many times. And as Tucker read in 1 John chapter number 5, verses 14 through 9, or 15, 14 and 15, Scripture says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Now, I have heard, and I've even submitted to you over the past month, that if we ask anything according to the name of Jesus, what does Scripture tell us? It tells us that He will hear and give us whatever we ask for. But here in this passage of Scripture, we get a little bit more of a fuller picture of what that means. What does it mean? Scripture tells me that I can have anything, that I can have confidence that we have toward Him. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. How many of you struggle with knowing God's will for your lives? You know, Robert Griggs, I invited Robert to come into the office Wednesday night and chat. We do this occasionally when he's here on Wednesday nights. And it's been wonderful for both he and I. I've got to know him deeper as a person as he has me. But as we began the conversation this past Wednesday night, I looked at him and I said, "Robert, what do you think it means to pray God's will?" And we began this long discussion. They are looking for a house at this point in time in their life. And we talked about it in his context of looking for a house. But what I want you to understand is, how many of you, like me and Robert, how many of you struggle with praying God's will? You know, as I researched this sermon, I read one commentator who said 75% of the decisions that we make never require us to kneel down on our to kneel down and pray and to ask God for discernment. Go through your morning. Do you pray about what time you need to get up? Do you pray about what you're going to eat for breakfast? Do you pray about which clothes you're going to take? Do you pray about what time you're going to get your children up, what they're going to eat for breakfast, what they're going to wear, what time you're going to leave to go to school? Do you pray about these things for your children, for yourself, or do you just make spontaneous decisions? Most of the time, 95% of our life is spent making spontaneous decisions that we never ask God about. And I think God is okay with those things. Now, if you want to get down and pray about everything, I'm sure God honors that. But I just want to tell you, the busy life that I live, He has given me a mind to read His Word and to understand to make good decisions. And I think God wants us to use our mind to make good decisions. We know certain things that we should do and certain things that we should not do according to His Word. And based upon that, I think that we, 95% of the time, we don't have to pray to God about certain things. We just make spontaneous decisions and we move on. Now, what about that other 5%? This other 5% are decisions that are massive decisions. They represent some of the most important decisions we will ever make and include: how much money should I give to the church? Should I adopt children? Should I pursue a different vocation? What vocation should I pursue? What is the direction of the pursuit of my vocation? It's something that I've talked about with many of you here in this church. Should I pursue this house? Should we purchase this house? Should I marry this person? Should this person want to marry me? Which college should I attend, and should I go to the mission field? These are only but just a few of the decisions that are facing people in this very congregation. Dylan has already begun to go to different colleges and look around. So one of the biggest questions that is in his mind and Mimi's mind is, which college is he going to? Now, she swears up and down that it will not be Auburn, but Auburn is on the plate. And when it comes down to it, and what I think she would agree to, it should not be what Mimi thinks is best, but what God leads him to do, okay? But the question is, what is God's will? What is God's will for Dylan? What is God's will for Mike? What is God's will for you in these massive decisions? Now, a question that I ask, how do you go about discerning God's will? We have here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, as we've already read, if we ask anything according to His will, we can get it if it's according to His will. What else does Scripture teach me? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, Scripture tells me where Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Jesus says, "Our Father who art in heaven, I will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." You know that prayer. And it comes down and He says, "Your kingdom come, Your will, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." His will be done on earth. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? What is God's will for my life? What is it? What does that mean? Then in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, we see Jesus praying. And we get a better picture of my life. I get a better picture of my life. I think you would get a better picture of your life and what it means about praying God's will. Because here, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He is about to face Golgotha and the cross and the scourging and the beating that He is about to partake or receive on our behalf. And Scripture says, and He went out a little beyond them, the disciples, and He fell on His face. And He prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will." This is a teaching of Scripture to me concerning God's will. Specifically about His will. Anything we ask according to His will, Scripture says that we will receive it. Isn't that right, Tim? We will receive it. We are to ask that His will be done on earth through us as it is done in heaven. But as I get to that passage in Matthew, here's what I must recognize. That there is a significant difference between my will and His will. There's a significant difference between my will and His will. So when we're praying to God, when we're praying to Him, how do we know what God's will is when we pray? Scripture tells us, and others that I've read this week have told and have written down and said this. If you want to know the will of God, look in here. Bear Scripture upon what you're praying about. As Robert and I talked, I believe that God wants a man and a wife to be able to provide for their family, not only through not only clothing, food, but also a home. We talked about that, didn't we, Robert? And I believe that's what God wants. But the question then comes in, well, what house do you want us to have? Which is a big decision to make for a family. Which college do I want to go to? That is a big decision to make. But as we begin to look, there are certain things that I know what God's will is. I don't have to wonder about what God's will is for a lot of things as I begin to look in Scripture. You know, Scripture does provide certain things. For instance, we know what God's will that all come to confess Christ as Savior. But it's not certain that all will. People have that freedom to choose or to reject Christ as Savior. We know that it is His will that we acknowledge Him in all of our ways. We know that it is His will for us to become holy. We know that the Ten Commandments provides us an example of what is God's will for our lives. If we go on and we read in the New Testament, the Sermon on the Mount provides a lot of what God's will for us and how we act and how we interact with people today, that is His will. In fact, that is His manifesto. If you want to read something about what Jesus came to do, read the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in Matthew chapter 5. That is His manifesto of why He came and what He came to do. But we have a lot of things in Scripture that reveal God's will to us. You know, loving people when they are unlovable is the will of God. Loving my enemies is the will of God. However, God's will for specific events, let me ask you this, it's found there in your sermon notes. Does this Bible cover everything comprehensively to allow me to know what God's will for my life is in any event? Does it do that? Is there a section in here that says Mike and God's will? Not when it comes to specific events. But as I enter these specific events, what I can do is I can begin to look at Scripture and apply Scripture and what God says about Himself. And I can begin looking, I can begin to discern those things as I am trying to define what God's will specifically is for Mike or for Robert as they are looking at purchasing a home. Or whether Dylan and Mimi about which college that Dylan's going to go to. Maybe it is Auburn. She will have to change her wardrobe, won't she? But at any rate, you know, what I have come to discover is that in my life, no matter how much Scripture I bring upon certain events that I find myself in, the will of God remains a mystery to me. I call it the fog. Robert and I talked about this on Wednesday night. If you look at the diagram that's provided to you, I believe this diagram is one that can apply to almost every biblical situation where God's will is not specifically indicated. If you look at Abram, God told him to get up and to go to a place that He would show him. Didn't tell him where, just told him where I will show you. What did it require of Abram to do? Abram had to get up and begin walking into the fog, into the question marks of life, to follow and to discern what God's will really was for him. How many of you like the question marks of life? How many of you like stepping into the fog of God's uncertainty about His will for your life? I don't. I don't like that at all. As I look, I see Moses, specifically here, another example, where he was called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. They were called into the wilderness. They were called into the question mark of how they're going to make it, how they're going to survive this journey. They were called into the question mark and the uncertainty of how is God going to provide for me? How is God's will going to be discerned? How can God's will come about through me walking through a wilderness? But then I'm always reminded that the Spirit led Jesus into a wilderness. How many of you that are going through some of these events in your life where you're trying to discern, God, what is your will for my life? To how many of you does that feel like a wilderness? To how many of you does it feel like it is a desert unto you? You're looking around and you're thinking, Lord, You've called me out into this place, and I know that I'm supposed to be going in this direction, but I have no idea what You are wanting to do with my life right now. I have no idea all of these decisions that I have to make. I really don't know which one to make. You're in the midst of this fog, this holy fog, if you will, of where you are meeting God and God is meeting you, but God is not giving you specifics, but God is wanting you to trust in Him. Now, how many of you have ever felt like that before? I feel like it quite a bit. I always find it interesting that the children of Israel, how long did they wander in the wilderness? How long was that journey normally take? Usually less than 2 weeks, probably a week at the most. I'm thinking week and a half. But they walked around and wandered for 40 years. I was talking to another young lady at school about this very thing. You remember Elijah when he called down fire upon the mountain? One of the most powerful events that he could ever have in his life. And then what did he do? He ran to hide. Ran to hide. Because he was in the midst of God's uncertainty of what's going to happen to his life. He began to run and began to wander. How many of you, at many points in your life, feel like you're wandering, trying to discover God's will? To how many of you does it feel that every time you step out into the fog of God's will, trying to discover what it is, that it certainly feels like a fog? And I think there was, Jason and I talked about this one time, not too long ago. He said from an airplane perspective, from a pilot, growing up in a pilot's home, from that perspective, a fog is a really good way to describe it. Because if you're overhead, you can look directly through the fog and you can see everything. But once you descend into the fog, you can't see anything. So from God's perspective, God sees it all. But when we're in the midst of it, we have difficulty discerning what His will is. But He still calls out to us, Dale. He still invites us into the fog so that we can learn to trust in Him and what He is doing for our lives, even though we don't understand it at the time. You know, one of the commentators that I read this week said this. He said, God is more concerned about transforming us than He is about informing us. Think about that when you are going through a life transforming situation where you are in the presence of a holy fog and you don't know what direction you should go. God is more concerned about your transformation than He is about informing you. As I begin to look at that, I begin to think, yeah, that's right. But what does that mean? Because what I feel like when I get into that presence, Mike, sounds like anything any Baptist preacher would ever say to me. When I'm in the middle of one of the most important decisions of my life and I have no idea what decision to make, but I know that the Lord has called me into that moment and I have no idea what to do, you telling me that God wants to transform me rather than inform me, well, that does no good. I understand that, but how does that apply to my life? Does that apply to your life, Dale? It's good to know that that's what's happening, but how does that work out? This is how it works out in Mike's life. I become frustrated. I really become frustrated about what's going on because I don't know what's happening, and I don't know the right decision to make. So I begin to become frustrated, so much so that people don't like to be around me. Has anybody ever felt like that before in the middle of major decisions that you're making in your life? You begin to become frustrated. God, why have you called me? We begin to grumble just like the children of Israel did in their 40-year march across the desert of the wilderness. We begin to grumble and we begin to gripe. God, why am I here? Sometimes we become frustrated because we are attempting to press our will into the situation rather than understanding what God's will truly is. So when I begin to force my will upon a certain situation, do you know what can happen? I can really become frustrated real quick. So what does that mean, Mike? Well, in my life, that word, that phrase, God wants to transform you rather than inform you, it's good to know, but it really doesn't help me. What helps me is to realize what emotions I am feeling in the midst of the decisions, in the midst of the fog where you are, where God is calling you. What are your emotions? What are you experiencing? Because I believe our emotions are windows into our soul to which God wants to speak. How He wants to meet you. In the midst of my frustration about certain events that I'm going through, Robert, in the midst of your frustration about trying to find which house it is that you and Kate need to purchase, what I would share with you is this. What are the emotions that are going through your mind, and how does God want to speak to you through those emotions? What is He wanting to teach to you about those emotions? Because it's in those emotional moments is where we are, where we really are. We will want to paint a pretty scene of who we are in the midst of the fog of what's going on in our lives. But the reality is, the rawness of it is that I'm usually not a happy person. I'm confused. I'm dazed. I'm not what I think I am. And when we begin to understand and realize those emotions that God is calling us and He's wanting to speak to us and minister to us through the emotions that we're having. He calls us to that place. You know, as I begin to think about these wilderness places and this holy fog, as I'm reminded that Jesus was taken out into this wilderness by the Spirit, you know, what I believe needs to happen, as we talked last week, the Spirit is our counselor. So when we need understanding, I think it is appropriate for us to kneel down on our knees and pray for the Spirit to provide us understanding. Holy Spirit, you are my counselor. I have no idea why I am where I am right now. I am so confused. I know that God has called me to this point, but I really have no idea what decision that I need to make. Please provide me wise counsel. I believe that is one of the ways that we can pray God's will, that we can allow the Holy Spirit and ask Him specifically to come and be our counselor. I think that we can, in the midst of this fog of God's will, I believe that we also should recognize that there are two wills at play here. Just as we see Jesus in the fog, although I'm certain Jesus knew what was going to happen, what I believe is that Jesus is sympathizing and He's understanding, and He is being an example for us in the midst of decisions of life and how we should pray. There were two wheels there in the Garden of Gethsemane, just like there are two wheels every time I have to make a decision on a house, a vocation, a spouse, where my kids are going to go to school, if I need to change vocations, if I need to change where I live. There are many other decisions that you can bring into this scenario here, but what I really believe is that there are two wheels that are involved in discerning and trying to figure out what God's will is. When I pray, which one am I really concerned about? When I pray to God about the fog that I'm in, these certain decisions that I am going into, that God's calling me to, this holy fog, if you will, that we're talking about, when I begin to pray for the Spirit's guidance, which wheel am I concerned about? You may think and you may say, Mike, I'm really trying to understand how you are going to apply this. Here's how I'm going to apply this. If all I do is pray what I want, then I'm really not concerned about God's will. But Mike, you said last week that Scripture told us that we could pray about anything that we want and we would get it. Yes, but here today Scripture tells us that if it's according to God's will. What does that mean? It's not praying about what Mike wants. Because if all I ever pray about is what Mike wants, then I am praying Mike's will for Mike's situation that God has called me into. And then I can become extremely frustrated, and nobody ever likes me when I become frustrated. Become really short, direct, and not a happy person at all. I'm sure you can understand. You've probably been there before. However, what happens if I begin to pray with a kingdom perspective? What does that mean, Mike? That's a big word there. What does it mean to pray with a kingdom perspective? Try this. God, I want this job. It will help me provide for my family, which is your will. That is one way that we could pray. God, I want this job. It will help me provide for my family, which is your will. Or we could pray this. God, which job will allow me to make the greatest impact for the kingdom? Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference between those two? God, I want this job. Instead of God, which job will allow me to make the greatest impact for the kingdom? God, I want this house in this neighborhood. Or we could pray, God, in which neighborhood can I provide the greatest impact for the kingdom? Do you see the difference in the prayers? God, I want to go to Georgia. And we got somebody that does go to Georgia. Hannah, it's good to have you home, dear. I hope school is going well. It's good to see you. But Mimi's going to want Dylan to go to Georgia. But the question should become, God, where can Dylan make the greatest impact for the kingdom and where he goes to school? That should be the prayer that is prayed. Do you see the differences? How one is all about my will and how the other, it brings my will into submission to God's will, to His purposes. And then if we don't really understand that, here is, if you don't get anything else from what I am saying this morning, here's what I want you to get. When you're in the midst of the fog of uncertainty about what God's wanting you to do in your life, I believe it is okay to say, God, here's what I want. I believe it's okay for you to do that. After all, it's what Jesus did there in Matthew. He said that very same thing. If you get nothing else from me this morning, I want you to get this. When you're in the question marks of life and God's will seems distant, try praying this prayer to discern God's will. God, this is really what I think is best for me. Be honest with Him. God, this is what I think is best for me. But if it isn't what is best for me, but if it is not what is best for me, if it is not pleasing unto you, then do as seems best in your sight. Try that prayer when we're in the midst of the where we are in life and what decision we need to make. Be honest with our Father that this is what we want, but that we want what He thinks is best for us. And that no matter what that may make me feel like, Dale, that I will trust in Him to help me through that no matter what it is. Because many times there's going to be a disappointment. If I want something and it is not what God's best is, I'm not going to immediately see that. I'm going to see it as any kid would that goes to the store and says, I want this, and the parent says, no, you're going to get this. There's always disappointment there. The question is, what are we going to do about that disappointment? We're going to trust that God will teach us what His best means for our lives. What does that look like, Mike? It looks like messy living to me. A holy mess is what it looks like to me. And I'm okay with describing it as that because I'm not going to go into that moment with complete understanding when I'm not getting what I want. But when I understand that it is God's best for me, then I'm going to begin to say, Lord, I'm really disappointed. This is not what I wanted. But nevertheless, I don't understand what this means for me. But I'm going to trust in You. There are going to be days that you're going to get up and you're going to want to shake your fist to God. There are going to be many times that you do shake your fist at God. There are going to be many times that you do not have good feelings toward Him and about what His best is for you. But remember, He is above the fog and He sees things perfectly. We are in the midst of it. And we can't even see right in front of our face. So how do you pray God's will? God, this is really what I think is best for me. But if it isn't what's best for me, if it is not pleasing to You, then do as seems best in Your sight. That is a prayer that is powerful. That is a prayer that can change lives. That is a prayer that can help us discern God's will and submit our will unto His. It is what Jesus did in the garden. So as we come in, we get a verse of song ready, an invitation. As you're looking there and you're turning in your hymn. I want to ask you this. There in the sermon notes has a part where it says, talk it over. Wonder, has God called you into the middle of the fog? Does it feel like it? Has He called you into the middle of the fog? Are you growing frustrated because you do not know what His specific will is? Have you talked to Him? Have you been as honest to Him as you know how to be? Have you just stripped all the church language away and said, God, this is what I want? And I don't understand why you won't give it to me. But then I have that kingdom perspective of where you lift up and say, dear Lord, even if it is not what I think is best for me, whatever your best is what I need in my life. So Father, help me understand what your perfect will for my life is. Let me ask, how is your life reflecting the journey of the children of Israel from Egypt? Do you feel like you're wandering around, not knowing where you're going next? I want to encourage you to pray the prayer that I've shared with you this morning. When you are in the wilderness, that fog, what will you do? Do you pray what you want, or do you tell God what you think is best while submitting that best to His best? Folks, I believe that is the prayer that Jesus prayed. And I believe that that is the key to praying God's will for our lives.